then Chrissy will send us pictures from the beaches of Florida in January just to rub it in. But in all seriousness, you know, it is good to see people move. I think it's representative of what's going on nationally anyway. You know, you want to see people improve their lives. And I think from my standpoint, you know, you know, it's very hard to come in and tell the boss that you're retiring or you're leaving, right? Or you're moving. All of them had their own moments, but you know, they've all really enjoyed working here, made huge contributions, and ultimately, you know, if you're in my position or the superintendent's, the great news is you want to support those folks making those challenges in their lives.
Absolutely.
And
this is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 575 in the series. This session of the radio show shares my Talk Franklin conversation with our town administrator, Jamie Helen. We had our conversation via conference bridge. We talk about the Maple Hill status coming back to the council in July for a vote, multiple staffing changes, and the committee and board reappointments. The town's going through a whole bunch of demographic changes on the staffing front, and it was the annual committee and board reappointments. The reopening continues. More people are attending meetings in person. In addition to that, the farmers market is going well. The 4th of July is coming up. Concerts on the Common is in there. And all leading up to a bunch of free events before the Cultural Festival in September and the Harvest Festival in October. There is a lot happening. Links to the key topics here are included in the show notes. The recording runs about 26 minutes. So let's listen to my conversation with Jamie. All right, Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, 102.9 on the local area dial and WFPR.FM anywhere on the internet browser. Today, another Talk Franklin session with our town administrator, Jamie Helen. Jamie, how are you doing this Friday?
Doing great, Steve. It's always great on Friday, although I'd be remiss if it's just you and I now for a little while, for a couple months. We obviously miss Anne Marie, but we wish her all the best.
Where the sidekick is in our minds.
Can't help but notice, right?
We've added a couple of topics that she would have added. So, you know, we're still thinking of her. We're still covering those topics. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, kind of jumping right in. I mean, on that, you know, all the folks in town, I think, got really used to Anne-Marie in a very short time frame. And just for folks out there maybe listening, we did post her job replacement on the town website. So if anybody's interested who's listening to this, please check that out.
I did announce it on Wednesday, I think. Yeah.
You tweeted out on Wednesday. And then Chrissy Welton, who people know as our licensing administrator and assistant to the town administrator, is moving. So she will not be in Franklin anymore. She's doing we're seeing a lot of these days, Steve, obviously, you know, is a lot of people are reevaluating everything in life. And I think the whole pandemic has had us caught up at home and issues with family members and generational change and income and finances and quality of life. I think you've been through that. I've been through that. But Chrissy's making a great decision for her family to move to the great state of Florida. So we're certainly going to miss her incredible work ethic and her diligence and her incredible attention to detail that only a veteran of the United States Air Force or of the other armed services could do. And so we're going to miss her, but we've promoted Alicia Aline in the office, who's been our executive assistant for 2 years. She gets out of the University of Connecticut with a master's in public administration. She wants to become a town administrator someday.
So that's a good place to follow in your shoes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Great place. And she certainly earned it. She's a tremendous asset. As we all were at one point, we still have a lot to learn. But she clearly has all the intangibles and all the skills and the education. And she's a very smart woman and will definitely serve that role very well as she gets settled here in the next few months. Mm-hmm. So a lot of changes there. And as I announced, was announced this week as well, our Veteran Services Officer, Dale Kurtz.
Dale, yeah.
You know, has announced his retirement. And, you know, as sad as it is for all of us, and certainly it's going to keep our HR director in the interview room for a while longer this summer, you know, there's really no words that could possibly summarize his impact on the town of Franklin. And I'm just very grateful to him, and to no surprise at his incredible leadership qualities, you know, to stick through the pandemic. I respect the fact that there were some people in municipal level everywhere, corporate level, that retired when this thing started because they were eligible and didn't want to go through it. Sure. It would have been easy for Dale or anybody else on that team to have done that. But we're going to have some more announcements, Steve. I keep on teasing this every
meeting, and realistically,
at the July 21st meeting, there will be a few more that are going to be there and that they'll be recognized. And so this will continue to evolve. But a big congratulations to Dale, a huge congratulations to Chrissy, huge congratulations to Alicia and Anne-Marie for all their work and their improvements that they're making in their lives, which is, I often said it, I say it the other night, their success is our success. It shows the organization I think we are as a community and as a government. And, you know, I think, you know, the good news is that, it's tough to have Anne-Marie leave. And for example, we knew we weren't going to be able to keep her forever. She's just too talented to be working at this level. You know, we're just hoping that when she becomes big and famous, that she remembers where she started.
Yeah, I think for a couple of pieces there, although certainly the pandemic may have, you know, changed the timing on some of the individual decisions, as we've discussed, and certainly that's appropriate for them to make those decisions given that. But realistically, overall, you've already been facing, and even when you came in, Jeff already knew there was a bunch of transitions underway, and it's just the demographics of the town employment. Overall, I think even the fire police chief referenced he's expecting another 6 to 8 the rest of the year, fiscal year. So it's just that demographic. The people we have aged, myself amongst others. And
you've retired too in that time.
I've retired, absolutely. So I'm having fun doing this. And yeah, people are going to do whatever it is, you know, maybe just move to another position and reorient, as I think Officer Mellor did the other night. He stepped back from the front line of police and now he's going off to law school. Yeah. Dale's taking care of the grandkids, and that's fine. We're alternating on Fridays taking care of our grandson. So, you know, it's that time of life.
And then Chrissy will send us pictures from the beaches of Florida in January just to rub it in. But in all seriousness, you know, it is good to see people move. I think it's representative of what's going on nationally anyway. You know, you want to see people improve their lives. And I think from my standpoint, you know, you know, it's very hard to come in and tell the boss that you're retiring or you're leaving, right? Or you're moving. All of them had their own moments, you know, they've all really enjoyed working here, made huge contributions. And ultimately, you know, if you're in my position or the superintendent's, the great news is you want to support those folks making those challenges in their lives.
Absolutely.
You know, we can hem and haw about losing somebody like an Anne-Marie or Dale or Chrissy. But, you know, what we do in this organization is also try to look in the long run.
Yeah.
And that's succession why we have planning. People like Alicia that's here.
Yeah. You know? Succession and that's why we have people that,
you know, Kim at the library, Aaron Rodgers at the senior center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had that situation with Chief Lynch. We've at the fire department, you know, working with Chief McLaughlin, you know,
You've got the four battalion commanders who effectively building that bench.
And we have two deputy chiefs, you know, and you're building that bench. And you had people in the fire department that never wanted to be promoted. And now they are, they've gotten their first promotions up into leadership. And you can just see that the next, you know, decade is very, very bright, if not the next 2 to 3 decades in Franklin at the fire department.
Right.
And the individuals we put in place at the DPW as well. There's a lot of great young leaders down there that are starting to learn not just what it's like to be on the end of the project, but what it's like leading the project. And they're getting a taste of that. So we're very fortunate. Not many municipalities get to do this. And I will say with a lot of the changes that have gone on in the municipal building this year, you know, I think to the point about Jeff a moment ago, we've been really lucky to get people like Kathy Liberty to replace Dave McNerney at the Board of Health. We've been very fortunate to get some young talent down in the permitting office down there. We've been very, very lucky to get people in the finance departments recently, particularly Marina Malamud, the assistant treasurer collector, to fill in for Laura, you know, and in the comptroller's office, Jan Hawley retired. And, you know, we're looking at the candidates and it's very, very clear to me for whatever the myriad of reasons are, and there are different ones. The reality is that this is a very, very attractive community to work for.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about that
comes down to, you know, people feel their elected officials are supporting them.
Yes.
It just can't be understated enough. Mm-hmm. And I say this publicly all the time, and the superintendent probably does too. Yep, we're going to disagree on some items. The professional view and the electoral view oftentimes don't come into perfect synergy.
Mm-hmm.
But it happens here exponentially less frequently where that conflict arises between here and other communities.
Yeah.
And we are able to attract, I think, a lot of the best talent for these positions because they know that the elected officials and the leaders up at the top, you know, support them and are going to do what we can to try to invest in them. So,
yeah, I think the glory of this the time, and yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty, there's still some change, but there is movement opportunity. And granted, some people, and I think you mentioned earlier, some people don't want to necessarily change. They don't want to go to a leadership role, and that's fine. You've got roles for them to play. Absolutely. But for those who do want to advance, you've got now the opportunity as opposed to going into an organization which is stagnant. You know, that the structure is there, people are not leaving, there's no turn. That's a totally different environment. And we're fortunate to be able to be in a position. So you can always bring in the good people with some of those, you know, a little bit of fresh eyes looking, and then we're just going to get better going forward over time. So there's nothing wrong with that part.
It still boils down to the average, most frequent, most common attributes that people are traditionally looking for in employment, and that's no more evident right now than in the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
People are looking for certainty. They're looking for convenience. They're looking for quality of life. They're looking for support.
And the ability to
flexibility, and they're looking for an ability to be trusted to do what they know how to do with their expertise.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's something that I know, you know, the superintendent and I talk about this, but often, you know, those are things that are really important to us, and they're important to our human resource directors, and they're important to the key department heads that are making these hires.
Right.
And I think that in a pandemic moment, we've been very fortunate. While it's been very hard to find a lot of candidates for a lot of different positions, particularly ones that are a little lower paying and trying to work on those, I think that's why we've been able to maintain our competitiveness as a community to hire great people, is that we embrace those attributes. And therefore, I think people are willing to work here and enjoy working here because that they know that we support those attributes and the elected officials largely do.
Right.
And so while people are evaluating their lives and they're saying, geez, I need this. I need, you know, consistency. I need a rhythm. I need support. I need a little flexibility. Someone who understands what we're going through right now with homeschooling, all this different stuff, remote learning and changing things up and dealing with families and loved ones that are maybe got ill, all these situations. Well, I think that's, you know, ultimately our hopeful greatest competitive advantage. So
indeed.
So we've got a lot more changes coming up, Steve, and eventually, you know, soon, in the next meeting in July, we'll be talking about it.
And you still got a lot of work on the plate because clearly, you know, as good as we're doing, as good as we are, things aren't perfect. There's still opportunities to do, and that's where you need the good people to move the things along. And one of the items that, at least as a recap, since we last talked, and you had brought the Maple Hill proposal to the town council, the other three boards, FinCom, Community Preservation Committee, which is the key, made their approvals and recommendations, and now it's back going to be up in the town council decision.
Yes, since we last spoke, and I can't remember the date. It might be the date we were doing the next interview might be after the vote. I can't recall, but ultimately, you're right. The Finance Committee recommended the purchase of the Maple Hill subdivision property of almost 70 acres of open space. And the bigger vote obviously was the Community Preservation Committee, because legally they had to recommend this to the formal council in order for CPC funds to be used.
Sure.
Both votes were unanimous. I think in the room, the support was obvious. I also appreciated the support of the chair of the planning board, who did show up, was the one in-person comment. There were some other citizens that were there.
Mm-hmm.
But we do appreciate Mr. Padula's support of the purchase. Both, you know, he and the planning board went through 2 years of hearings on this. There's nobody that knows that stuff better than they are. And now the final vote will be on July 21st at the town council meeting. We hope that night will be the last and final vote that will be needed. I'm sure there's going to be lots more paperwork and registry, and
there'll be further status updates. There may be some other thing
down the line, but there'll be a couple votes that night that are required to make the purchase official and exercise the right of first refusal. Mm-hmm. I think you would agree with me. The sentiment when we had the public hearing was it seemed a unanimous vote from the council to support this. Things look good.
Yeah. Now there's a lot of work to be done, because clearly there would need to be, once the deed is done and signed and sealed, then we get to evaluate, okay, what are we actually going to do with this? Where are we going to put access, you know, appropriate parking, coordinate with the neighbors so that they know, et cetera. And then people can start enjoying the space, which is supposedly going to be a really, really good space. I haven't been in there yet, but I'm looking forward to it. So
they got some great trails. All the comments that were said were true. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, for those that maybe that ever get kind of like, or underwhelmed, I think the other point that gets lost a little bit is this is relative to what else is available.
Sure.
You know, there's certainly, we went through this in the meeting so people can see it for themselves, but you know, there are obviously other parcels in town. You're never going to be able to afford them all.
Yeah.
It depends. You may not get another right of first refusal for 10 years. It could be 5 years. It could be 20 years. It could be 6 months. It's
totally out
of
your control. You just have to wait.
Completely out of my control. But I think there's no other, you know, I don't believe there's another permitted right now. I don't believe there's another permitted proposal on another 61 that's active,
mm-hmm.
Like the Maple Hill process is something like halfway through,
right?
You know, in the council, the last time they had a 61 come before them was in 2017, and they declined both. So, you know, it's certainly changed, which is good policy for the town. But how we do moving forward, you know, people have to remember this is a very, very large parcel in the group of parcels that are in the top 5 to 10 in town of largest pieces of land left. There's just simply not a lot more contiguous land like this. There's only a few others. So, so I think in that vein, you know, this may be one of the, it may not be it certainly may not be everybody's opinion that this is the best piece of land out of what's available, but beggars can't be choosers.
Hmm.
We didn't have any other choices before us. And we don't have any that I foresee coming like right now. I mean, you know, that I can understand. And even if there was more, you know, I think with CPA, that gives the town an incredible tool to evaluate that. But, but this is clearly an old growth forest with some excellent trails. I've walked down there a couple of times just looking at it. And I think it'll be a great resource for the area. It will take us a little while to deal with signage and parking lots and
mm-hmm.
what the right answers are. That will take at least a couple of years. But for right now, I think people can rest easy that they got a nice recreational space to use in the future.
Right. And while we're just in that, the reopening discussion continues. You mentioned people coming mm-hmm. into the offices and stuff. People were in the meeting, including myself. I was at the FinCom meeting and the EDC meeting and back the next night for the Community Preservation Committee meeting. It was good to be back in person to see, and then you can have those discussions after the meeting as opposed to Zoom. Once the Zoom link closes, boom, that's it. You're at home. You can't talk to anybody.
It was great to see you, Steve. It was great to see everybody. I think it was great to just see people in the room. Obviously this week's meeting was well packed because of the honoring of Officer Moore and the fire department, but just to be in a full house was kind of cool. Just as a quick plug of fun stuff. You know, the farmer's market is obviously open every Friday from 2 to 6. On July 3rd, there will be a 4th of July concert, Blues Festival. that will be on the Common that afternoon, which is great news, free for everybody. And then after that Blues Festival, a couple weeks later, people can just Google Franklin Concerts in the Common, but Ryan Jetty's put together some concerts on the Common and some movie nights for families later on in July and August. And that goes all the way into September when we have the Cultural Festival, when the kiddos return back, which again will be on in downtown. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the Harvest Festival was announced last week by the Downtown Partnership. So there's literally something free to do, of fun music and entertainment, all sorts of stuff, every month until the cold weather comes. And we'll evaluate the cold weather. Maybe we'll still keep on doing that stuff.
But the holiday stroll may come back. Who knows? Right? The
holiday stroll may come back. And I would be remiss to tie back loose ends to Anne Marie. This past week, for those out there listening, looking to try something new, there'll be not one, but two new businesses attending in downtown Franklin. One is open now, Greco and Company.
Second pop-up shop opens, right?
The second pop-up shop. So the first pop-up shop opened, they'll be in there through September. Greco and Company, they got a bunch of handmade home decor items, some really cool stuff. I hope that folks get an opportunity to stop down and take a look at her store. And then second, the Republic of Hustle and Flow, which is a pretty cool name, and kind of is indicative, I think, of the business very much so, will be a body wellness and studio that's more in a boutique fashion, where there'll be individual classes on health and wellness relative to exercise and things of that sort, yoga, which is kind of exciting. And they're going to be in the Allstate building in that new housing complex on East Central Street, right next to the Maven and Simon's Furniture. So if people are looking for those kind of classes, great opportunity for both of them. We are evaluating our budget now that Anne Marie is gone. She was really doing a lot of this. Mm-hmm. There may be room for a third space. We are taking applications. I will say, Steve, it's a bummer. There's a lot of chit chat, I think, out there of ideas, but there aren't a lot of people throwing their hats in the ring. So I encourage people out there to fill out the application, get in the queue, because one of the things that is hard to understand is just because you apply doesn't mean the space is necessarily going to work for you. And I think Anne Marie found that out.
That's
looking at some of the businesses that applied. And it's not just the food issue, but you know, just some spaces, you can't do certain services in certain rooms.
True.
You know, some landlords and building owners wouldn't allow us to be in their buildings.
Right.
And so these are kind of inconvenient truths. I don't mean to be the buzzkill in the whole thing, but what I want to encourage entrepreneurs out there to do, if these things are interesting, just please apply and throw your hat in the ring. We are getting them. We will contact you. Both spaces are occupied right now. We are looking for more. We are trying to work with the town of Rentham on this, but the important thing is that we know you're out there, and that's what
one
I
of the
think
keys.
Is, and I keep hearing rumors from people, and well, what if this happens? And I just say, please just show us your vision, fill out the application. Many of the applicants weren't from Franklin either, that's found it. And so the Franklin folks are, while the people that are occupied are Franklin folks right now, we're not trying to help the small business owner right now, four towns away. I know there are entrepreneurs in this town. I know there's excitement over this,
right?
But I really just encourage you, if you have a family or friend or a family member or friend, please just Google Franklin pop-up shops. You'll get the site, you'll get the application. Just throw your hat in the ring and let us know what your idea is, and you know, we hope we can work with you.
Yeah, indeed. And to reinforce the point on the farmers market, also through the Cultural Council, they have some music. So if I recall correctly, because I was putting the calendar together for the cultural district view of that as well, and it seems like the nicely planned. So between the Cultural Council grant at the farmers market and then the concerts on the Common, there's something every week. So it's concert and uncommon every other week, and the cultural festival the other week. So there's always something there. And I've been to the farmer's market the last 2 weeks, and it's hopping. Even with a little bit of rain today, I'm expecting to go, and I'm sure it's going to be busy. So
Yeah. I mean, that's incredible. Think about that. There's something every week, and we didn't even include the library, which
the
we know they've
been doing stuff in with stuff. That as well. So been,
the, at the farmer's market, I believe. I think yep. Callie and Bree are doing yep. the program.
3:30 to 4:30. That's on the cultural calendar as well. So yeah. There's a lot of activities going on. And the other point to your point, if people don't find something or want to see something, reach out and ask. It may be an idea that we haven't considered yet, or it may be something that's still on the, you know, the back burner that we're waiting for the right opportunity, right spot to go. We don't know. Yeah. You don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, I don't know. It's just, I get a lot. I understand why people want to inquire and chat about it, but you know, in all due respect to the Republic of Hustle and Flow, they proved their hustle and flow.
Yeah.
Because they were an early bird. Greco and Company, I believe, is the first applicant.
That helps.
These were folks that were out of the gate first, and we were able to been fortunate enough to help them. And they're already in. Republic of Hustle and Flow is another couple of weeks, but Greco and Company is open right now. So hopefully people will go down there and check out that store. It's a great initiative from the town. And, you know, the ultimate goal, so people understand out there, just to cap it off, the idea here is that hopefully there's some permanent tenants where the relationships, to go back to the conversation mm-hmm. we had earlier offline, you know, if you build those relationships and the landlord's like, wow, this is great. There's some sustainability here. Would you like a long-term lease? That's what's going to revitalize downtown Franklin.
Right.
You know, it's fun and mysterious to have pop-up shops for 2 weeks, but it we were finding it wasn't feasible among the business owners that were applying.
Right.
And so I think, you know, in an urban setting in Boston, you could have more pop-up shops every couple of weeks or whatever. But ultimately for Franklin, it's really about finding good partnerships and good lessees for landlords.
And
it looks like we have a couple of good fits. Yeah.
Yeah. we're on the same page. What can we say? Right.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
It requires the fit, and you gotta be in it to do it. So yeah, you gotta sign up, stick your neck out. Yep. Not too far.
So get off this podcast now. We're all done talking. And go sign up or tell your family and friends what's going on.
Yep. And between the Franklin Town, franklinma.gov and Franklin Matters or franklin.news, there's plenty of ways to get at it. And you can just Google, you find it either way. So
absolutely.
So awesome. There's a lot more coming. And thank you for taking time today to at least talk Franklin on this particular Friday. And I know we'll have some more to talk about as the summer goes.
Great to talk to you, Steve. Have a good 4th of July, everybody.
Yeah, thanks.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.